Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Now, Labour MEP for Dublin, Eavon O'Riordan, is with me here on Lunchtime Live today. Eavon, thanks a million for joining us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Congratulations, Eavon, to yourself and your partner on the birth of your little daughter. She had, I suppose, a difficult start. Is that fair to say?
Well, yeah. I mean, she was born after only 26 weeks and 5 days of pregnancy, and we thought we had lost her twice, to be honest. Nicola's waters broke at 18 weeks, and there was two in particular moments in the return to hospital where we assumed that the road had come to a very tragic conclusion, and we had to get our heads around maybe what it would feel like to have a little lifeless body being presented to us, and what we'd have to say to her older sister in particular, who's 7. So that didn't happen. She kept kicking away, and unfortunately, Nicola had to go to the delivery ward 4 times between 24 weeks is the key. 24 weeks is the baseline of viability for any pregnancy. So between 24 weeks and the 26 and a half weeks, there were quite a number of false starts, if you like. And yeah. I had to fly back from Strasbourg, and I flew back from Brussels. But she's doing well. The doctors are happy with her. But I just wanted to, I did a piece with the Irish Times there yesterday who were familiar with the story. And just to thank everybody from the Rotunda to the Coombe. She's over in the Coombe now. Just wanted to thank everybody involved, from the Rotunda to the Coombe, who have been supportive friends and family as well. But I suppose you do have reflections on what so many families go through and so many couples go through who don't have a happy ending to this type of difficult pregnancy. I think maybe it's an unspoken trauma that is out there in Irish society, because it's only since I've gone through this and people are aware of it that I've gotten contact from people saying that, well, I lost this, or we lost that, or we lost this wanted pregnancy at this stage. And, it's not something maybe that people are comfortable talking about.
Yeah. And we hear that time and time again, Eavon. You know what, even often days we might chat about it here on the show, and, you really get a sense of the impact, like how many people are affected by it, when you start to see the emails and the texts that come in from so many people looking to share their experience. Just before I go on any further, your partner, Nicola, how is she doing? I'm sure, God, even for it's a
she's
couple,
good,
it's,
but she's still, yeah. She's still recovering from a C-section. She's still recovering from a very traumatic period of a lot of bleeds and a lot of leaks and a lot of pain over the course of the pregnancy, a lot of worry, obviously, and stress. Mm-hmm. And so recovering from a C-section and having to pump, obviously breast milk that we have to deliver over to the Coombe every day. There's a lot in that. She was in the hospital for a month, so she's missing out the daughter, Sive, and my older daughter, Anna, a huge amount. So it's a very psychologically challenging time, a physically challenging time, and I don't necessarily think that a lot of guys really get just how traumatic it can be. And when your own health is on the line as a woman who's pregnant, and in circumstances, your life can be on the line. So it's a huge amount to go through. And you have to keep, I suppose, the positivity as much as you possibly can for other children in your life or family members in your life. And, it can be difficult if you go through this and you have to be a public facing person, like a guard or a nurse or a teacher. It's a lot to have to deal with, because there isn't often recognition from the workplace that you may go through a miscarriage and you're expected back in work pretty soon afterwards, or maybe you've had a termination for a particular reason. So I think it's good that maybe society is a little bit more understanding of what women go through in pregnancy.
And that's something you constantly hear people talking about, the need for greater supports and in terms of annual leave, even, I suppose, a level of compassionate leave too, even to a certain extent as well, at various different stages. And a lot of that obviously being left up to the employer, the individual employer to do that. I was reading your article in the Irish Times, Eavon. I thought it was really interesting, the fact you make the point that if men gave birth, maternity hospitals would be like palaces, and we get 3 years off. What do you mean by that?
I just think the system, politics, society, you know, business has been designed for men for hundreds of years. And I think we just have to have a look about just how society deals with pregnancy and deals with women who go through pregnancy. And, you know, the level of trauma and pain and physical pain, and then, you know, the, you know, breastfeeding and all of that is just completely all consuming for a woman. And, you know, there are moments where they, in certain pregnancies, women worry about their own health and their own lives because of what they're going through. And I think society needs to understand that more. So if a pregnancy goes wrong, I think if men went through it, there'd be an absolute understanding from politics or from, you know, legislation or from workers' rights that somebody needs time off to come to terms with that. And I think we need to be an awful lot more sensitive to that, because the rulemakers traditionally over hundreds of years have not been the ones who have been getting pregnant. And if they were, I mean, you know, Sweden has a gender balance in their legislature of 45%, 55%. And that's why they're, you know, they, that is reflected in better childcare, better maternity services, you know, better gender equality.
Social policies. Yeah.
Social policies. It's just the way it works. So I just think, from looking at this, and it was difficult for me, obviously, but yeah. I wasn't the person who physically was going through it. And as parents, when you deliver something which is so small and so vulnerable and so many tubes and wire, there is a sense of guilt that maybe you've let this little thing down, you know? And all signs are positive with our little one. But I have a very good friend of mine where it didn't work out, 24 weeks, twins. And, you know, the fact that they had to go back to work and come to terms with that, I just wonder if we're doing right by Irish women and in our maternity services, which can always, I know they've, you know, we've radically overhauled them now over the last period of time.
There's been improvements, for sure.
We have done better,
we can do better.
And the Rotunda and the Croom are just magical places, but they are places where joy meets tragedy. And I was really struck by that.
Yeah. Do you know, you obviously know Leinster House inside out, and now working at an EU level, Aidan. What maybe simple measures, what could we change? What could we do in, you know, what change could we bring in quickly to try and improve services for, I'm sure, all of the other parents like yourself and your partner that are, you know, going through this at the moment?
Well, look, I don't think we should focus on those in politics necessarily as people in other walks of life, as guards, teachers, nurses, firefighters, people in retail who go through this and need the protection of their employer, you know, and the understanding of their employer, that this is no small thing. This could be the biggest thing that you go through in your life. It's certainly the biggest thing that's been on our minds for a number of months. So I just think the employment law needs to understand that this is a massive, massive trauma, you know, mental journey that you're going through, no more than just a physical one. And if it doesn't work out, and for many families, it doesn't work out at all, ever, and they never have a happy ending at the end of it. So I think some recognition of that if somebody has gone through a termination or gone through a miscarriage or has had an early delivery of a baby that may or may not survive, that they deserve, you know, paid leave just to get them back on their feet again.
Yeah.
Because
and grieve
it could possibly be
as well.
And grieve.
Yeah.
And grieve. Because there's nobody who's gone through this who doesn't remember. And maybe even I in my own head was possibly a little bit sort of, I don't want to say flippant, but if somebody loses a pregnancy, you know, sometimes we go, well, you know, they can start again, or how well do you know that baby? And, you know, maybe you can be a little bit dismissive of what's gone through. But when something is so small and so vulnerable and needs you so much and, you know, has lost the opportunity to have a long life, it's difficult. So look, our story is one where, you know, it's looking well and it's looking good. But for many weeks and twice we had very emotional conversations where we had come to the end of the road, you know. But there's always somebody, I have to say this, we were in the Rotunda one night and there was a chap who was happy, just he was there with his own partner. I had to move my car, I was told to move my car. He said, look, I'll move it for you. Even going into the delivery room, there's a cleaner in the coom who just gave me a wink and gave me a smile on my way in. Just a small bit of encouragement. It's unbelievable. Yeah. The ethos in these places and the goodness of your average dub is just overwhelming. But I think that needs to be reflected in legislation and in our work practice and in society when when we deal with pregnancy and women who are at this very vulnerable stage.
Yeah. Look, I think it's a point really well made, Aidan, today, and I know a lot of support coming in for your, you know, your point and your suggestions on this, and well wishes too for yourself and Nicola. And it's little baby Roisin, is that right? It's
Roisin, yeah. I couldn't get away from the old, my daughter Anna wanted to call her Rose, so we went with Roisin, you know.
Yeah, nice compromise.
Yeah, well, it's also the Labour symbol, so that's red roses and all that.
Yeah,
you know,
kind of very true.
You know, yeah, I couldn't call her Troy, unfortunately.
But look, best wishes to yourself and Nicola over the Christmas, Aidan. And I know a tough couple of weeks for you both, and I'm sure, hopefully, you know, as you say, more positive news over the next couple of weeks as well. But look, happy Christmas, take care, and thanks for sharing your experience with us. Just a lot of people talking about, you know, he's dead right in terms of the kind of support services we have, and yet we've made improvements, but sure, look, absolutely, we can do better. If you want to share your own experience with us, you can drop us an email. It's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. For the moment, that's Labour MEP for Dublin, Aidan O'Riordan.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.